And I know someone who was there with the popcorn, the cheese toasties, glass of red, just loving the Ricky Stewart, Des Hasler post-match Raiders-Titans debate, furore, whatever you want to call it, was Yvonne Sampson from Fox League. How are you, Vonnie?
Oh, good morning, boys. A little bit Days of Our Lives, wasn't it? I didn't mind it. It's they're both a bit dramatic. I'd love them. And Ricky Stewart, as you mentioned, it's a really fascinating insight into Rick. And I know he says, look, I'm really passionate. That's just who I am. I get very emotional. He said that he and Des are sweet. So, you know, they're probably more similar than they want to admit. So it would be very natural for them to have a confrontation, a flare up, and then just move on. And what did they say in that article? That Ricky Stewart over the years had donated about 160 large post-match press conference in fines. So, you know, from the media, as much as we love the blow-up, it's
expensive.
You know, like Ricky doesn't mean to make the headlines. He just is, you know. So, yeah, no, he's one of a kind, old Rick, and we absolutely love him. We wouldn't change him for the world.
Yeah, he's funny, and I laugh when he goes to those press conferences, because I reckon I've got a good understanding.
You know what's coming.
I do. Yeah. I do. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, Vonnie, after Des's press conference. Ricky was going into that press conference to blow up about the refereeing, but then heard Des's comments and then took the opposite view.
Absolutely. He would have grabbed it on that. And you can tell when he pivots sometimes and something else makes him furious and then that triggers him. It's really good. And you know what? That's exactly what you get from Rick. You always know exactly where you stand with him. You know, even if we make a comment at Fox, he'll get on the text and say, right, you reckon? Like, you know, he doesn't miss a trick. And, I mean, if I'm a player, I want my coach to have my back like that. Like, he is all over you, you know? Like, he just, he backs you to the hilt. He'll defend you, gets himself into trouble, happy to wear it, and then come out the next week and push on. But this Broncos-Raiders, it'll be, I think, a bit of the match of the round, given the form they've brought into this. It's got that really nice 90s vibe every time these two play each other. You spoke about Ethan Strange. I think he showcased a really excellent running game for where he is in the development in the halves. I think Ethan hasn't put a foot wrong. Jamal Fogarty has nailed his kicking game each and every week. And it's so good to see him now get a little bit more recognition as a controlling halfback. And, yeah, Canberra, they've been really clean. It's no frills, but it's working a treat. And defensively, they're one of the best teams in the NRL. So it shows that they're connected. It shows that they're on their assignments. And it shows that they're turning up. So, you know, the Raiders, I think they've been underestimated massively. And they're making mugs of us.
You were with Mal this week. Where were you? And Mal's obviously not coaching Souths.
No. Well, it was a bit touch and go there. So we'd had this special feature story that we'd planned to shoot and to take Mal back to Tanner Island and to his village at Lewittal, where his great-grandfather jumped off the rocks and swam out to a ship, which the slave ships and blackbirding was very prominent in and around Vanuatu and South Sea Island, to bring, you know, the strongest, tallest, fittest men back to Queensland to cut cane. So Mal's forefathers, that's where they came from, but his great-grandfather jumped off the rocks off Tanner Island and ended up in Maribyrnong cutting cane. So we took Mal and his kids back to their village. They had a beautiful welcoming and a custom ceremony. They gave him this gorgeous custom name. And, yeah, it was really, really special to experience such a beautiful moment like that with the Meningas. And, it was so... Yes, for everyone out there, yes, I just spent the last week on Tropical Isle. That's exactly how it sounds.
I'll tell you what, Vonnie, some huge news for the Warriors, signing James Fisher-Harris from Penrith. I mean, I know he still had 2 years to go, but wanted to go home for personal reasons, so they've allowed him to do that. But after losing Adam Fanua-Blake, I think most people were thinking, oh, geez, they could ill afford to lose a front rower of that ilk, and then all of a sudden they've got one arguably just as good, if not better.
Oh, I think it's an upgrade. I think we can all agree in that. And you're right, Adam Fanua-Blake has been such an integral part of driving this Warriors rebirth. And it was such major news. I was confused. I thought to myself, what am I reading that correctly? A three-time premiership winner and a Kiwi Test captain and the current Golden Boot winner, James Fisher-Harris, is now going to be a Warrior from as soon as next year. I think this happened very quickly. I think the Panthers prop is probably one of the biggest signings that the Warriors have made in the history of their club, in terms of leadership, in terms of culture, in terms of that professional work ethic, you know, from a middle forward. I think Payne Haas is the best prop we've got in the game, but I think James Fisher-Harris and Moses Leota are the best middle forward duo. So for James then to want to go back home and to be part of what the Warriors are doing, and you said replacing Adam Fanua Blake, that's going to be no sweat at all. So I think it's also further proof of what the Warriors, the transition and the transformation of the Warriors, because they've gone from being, you know, a mediocre kind of club, very inconsistent with their performances, and now they are a desirable destination, and they're capable of winning a premiership. They were 80 minutes away from getting into the grand final last year, and they're getting that recognition. They're getting the respect of the NRL. They're putting together some really good footy, and it's a very deliberate rise that we're seeing week in, week out. And, yeah, I think that the signing of James Fisher-Harris just proves that everything is on track for the Warriors, and everything that their coach Andrew Webster has put into place is working. So, yeah, well done. I think it's going to be a wonderful fit for them.
What about Zach Lomax going to the Eels, Vonnie? Do you think a good decision from him? And do you think this has played a part in clearing his mind, allow us to, I guess, continue to see the best of Zach?
Yeah, I think they were all relieved. They said that this week, that they just needed to put that issue to bed. And Zach had himself in the shop front window and, you know, playing on the wing, but playing fantastically, jumping into fullback, you know, halfway through games when Tyrell Sloan was, you know, defensively a little bit poor. So, look, I think Zach will now has a fresh start, which he probably wants. Parramatta were seen on outside back, so they wanted someone of the class of Zach Lomax. Yeah, I think it's just better now that you're not turning up to every week's press conference asking, oh, what's Zach doing? It becomes tedious, you know, and you're talking about the same thing over and over. So he obviously has big ideas on what he could be. I know he wants to, you know, see, he sees himself as a rep player. He wants to get into that sort of position. So maybe he'll be able to do that from Parramatta. And, you know, for the Dragons, it just means that they can move on. They're 3-3 under Flatto so far. This week, Jack Bird's out injured. He's got that concussion. So Zach Lomax will move back to centre. So, yeah, I just think it's going to be a fresh start for Zach. It'll be a good addition for the Eels. And I think the Dragons were happy to see it all tidied up. So, yeah, I think it's a good one.
Gee, in regard to last night's game, 18-12, so the Storm over the Roosters there at Allianz, and a lot of these sort of texts this morning, when are people going to start putting the blowtorch on Trent Robinson being the biggest coaching fraud in the NRL, the most stacked side in the comp failing again? I mean, that's harsh.
That's harsh, but there's been a lot of them. Texts this morning.
Yeah, wanting to get into Robbo.
Get into Robbo.
But a 3-4 start is, you know, they've had a tough draw too. That should be taken into consideration. But
he's won three competitions too. So you've got to take
credits that.
Yeah, so you're not looking at sacking a bloke like Trent Robinson. And I get that they've got the roster, Vonnie, but are you as critical as some of these text messages we're receiving?
Yeah, I don't know what the tone has changed. And I think we've seen a change in Robbo as well, because we're seeing more emotion and more frustration than he's ever really let on before. And we saw that again last night. He was clearly furious in the coach's box. And he's been a bit cranky this week again, you know, when pressed about Tedesco. And then even he sort of carried all that tone into his post-match press conference. So he was super annoyed that Nelson Asifa-Solomona sort of, you know, interfered with Michael Jennings as Eli Katoa scored. So he said, look, the NRL will be really clear about it. If, you know, if it's in the act of a try being scored, then you go back and it's a penalty if someone's, you know, been impeded. But I think, yeah, Trent Robinson is in a tricky position at the moment, because the Roosters haven't hit any great heights so far this year. They're outside the eight. Next week, they've got that traditional Anzac Day matchup against the Dragons. And it's a tricky time for the Roosters, because if you just look at the quality of that game, that was, like, for a Roosters and Storm game, traditionally we would expect elite rugby league. And I know it's only, what are we, round seven now, but it was an unsophisticated game in many ways. And some cheap options were being taken. They had 22 errors in total. The Roosters missed 36 tackles. So it just shows that things aren't where they need to be for the Roosters, and they have such high expectations of themselves, and their fans have high expectations. So, it's going to be an interesting season. And I think, look, traditionally the Roosters really get going when the whips are cracking it towards the end of the year. But they left their run way too late last year and were no hope of sort of getting into the eight. So they wanted to take the pressure off and have a better start and sort of jump clearly a little quicker in the season. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the Roosters, but it's just not quite working at the moment. But look, the Storm, the Storm weren't amazing either. But, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with the Roosters.
I think both teams are still very clunky with the football, Vonnie, this season. The difference, though, being I think Melbourne are expanding their game and they're playing a style of football that we haven't sort of seen a lot of or you know, they're trying to move the ball, and I think that's a good system if they're to get to the finals this season and win, because I think what they've been doing the last couple of years, they've been that consistent that I don't think they've ever had another gear once they get to the finals, and other teams have. Whereas I reckon this style that they're playing at the moment where they're moving the ball, it's not working, but I think it'll get better as the season goes on. So therefore, I reckon they'll be a lot more of a threat than I think they were going to be at this stage. Well, what they were before the start of the season, because I was a bit very concerned about their style. But I think this will open themselves up for more opportunities to score points. And while ever they have the ability to defend and that attitude to defend like they do, I think they'll be more than competitive. The Roosters, on the other hand, for me in attack, I think it's something along the lines of they've got all this talent, but they actually don't know what is the best fit for some of their players within the group. And in particular, Joey Manu. I see him there and you're going, well, how do you get him involved? Because when he plays fullback, he's a different player. So do you make a tough decision and move Teddy to another position, or do you move Manu from centre into 5/8? I see a lot of talent, but I'm unsure of what they know what their best combination is. You know, does Keary and young Walker work well together, or are they too similar? Like, all these questions I have about their attack and their team, but I see the talent there. If they can get it right, they'll be challenging.
And you can throw Sand and Smith into that halves discussion as well. Do you know, like, it's... I think you're right. I think they're definitely a work in progress. Things, you know, maybe they are blessed with too much talent, and I completely agree. Joey Manu needs to be involved far more than he is. But how do you do that and why do you do that? Because every move at the moment is going to be criticised because, you know, Roosters fans, they want to see a style that they can get behind, and we're just not seeing that enough week in, week out. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for the rest of it for the Roosters. I think you're right about the Storm too, because you have to reinvent yourself in this game, and rugby league is constantly evolving, and if you don't keep up to date and don't keep up to with the style of the time or the season, you get left behind pretty quick when it comes to September. I think the Storm, they've only had that spine together so infrequently with Pappenhausen and Munster and Jerome Hughes and Harry Grant. So I think really for the last couple of years, it's been very sporadic that they've all been fit and healthy and on the field at once. So we will definitely see improvement from Melbourne moving forward. Melbourne usually play the Warriors next week for our Anzac Day clash in Amy Park, and they always do such a beautiful job of that. But the Warriors wanted to host Anzac Day in New Zealand this year, so Melbourne couldn't quite make it work. So the Warriors are going to have the Titans in Auckland, and the Storm will end up playing the Bunnies on the 25th. So that'll be another watch and wait to see what happens with South.
What about my Tigers, Vonnie? Can we beat the Panthers on Saturday?
Well, do you remember last year at Carrington up at Bathurst? They did.
It
was the upset of the season. it was a soggy old wet game, and the West Tigers just got into it. And I think one of the best results that we saw all last year. So, yeah, absolutely they could. They, you know, the Panthers aren't perfect, and the West Tigers have proven that they're a bit of a thrill-a-minute team at the moment. So, yeah, absolutely I'd give them a shot. Do you?
Of course. I'm on him. I'm backing him.
Well, you're mad. But you do have Lockie Galvin back, as mentioned. So,
look,
before you go, Vonnie, we've got to get a tip from Uncle Laurie.
Oh, Uncle Laurie. Okay, so Saturday, race 8, number 12, Southport Tycoon. Kieran Maher, Jamie Carr on board.
In the all-age, it's been pop. It's the best backed in the all-age stakes with Tab currently. Best backed.
Very good.
Is Southport Tycoon. I've seen some money for Magic Time this morning as well at $9. But Southport Tycoon, Uncle Laurie's tip at the all-age stakes, race 8, Southport Tycoon, $6 currently with Tab. Vonnie, you have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch you on Fox League Super Saturday.
Thank you, boys. See ya.